but Addy, you're spud and I'm Addy. Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. But what did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?
Hello, my name is The Adipose, and this is Spud Addy, but the pictures behind me are wrong if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, but I'm going to fix them right now. And oh my god, my shirt is apparently green because it's the green screen is complaining. Really? Really? Oh, hello, Spud.
Hello.
The thing being weird.
Is your head floating around on my body?
It's telling me that my shirt is green. My shirt is not green. I don't think I spilled that much stuff, damn it. Oh, well. Welcome
and
to
Green.
This is the podcast where we talk about this and that and what did you expect from potatoes and fat. So tonight we'll be talking about this and that. Some of it may be entertaining, some of it may be game related, some of it may be kind of wrestling related, some of it may be kind of life related, philosophy related, news related, politics related, earth shattering related, hypothetically related, goofing about related, or about incest, which is actually related. Although we haven't discussed that before, so I don't know how that conversation would go, but who, you know, needs reality to get in the way of a good joke, eh, Spud?
That might have to go on the avoid the topic list.
Incest. You mean like what in case there's some brothers and sisters there going, but it's completely natural and we love each other? Do you know that incest is actually wrong? Because it's an evolutionary thing.
Yeah.
Evolutionary because technically there's nothing like disgusting about it, but there's like an imprint, like mental thing inside our brains that makes it disgusting to protect offspring from like, you know, picking up like genetic kind of diseases, or was not genetic diseases, but genetic defects and stuff.
I did know that. And
isn't that cool?
It is cool, but it's what, when I say my life's philosophy, if it doesn't hurt you, then, and it doesn't hurt anyone and it doesn't affect anyone, then what's the harm?
Yeah.
People normally hit me with that. And I'm like, and the exception is that what you've just said there.
What is it?
They normally get me with the whole incest thing because it is a bit icky.
But that's nature's way of protecting us. But then you get, there are certain cultures around the world where you're supposed to like kind of marry your cousin and stuff. It's like a traditional thing. And then they get loads of like genetic conditions and stuff, which is difficult because like you can see that the counter argument is obviously like, you know, by kind of staying in the same kind of extended family, you're kind of keeping everything that your family's kind of earned together. And, you know, there's like financial kind of aspects. And like, it also means, you know, if your gran on one side happens to also be your gran on the other side, then that only means you have to buy presents once at Christmas. But there is a disadvantage when you've got like an extra head or your child can't talk, or.
Or you have to give your dad a Brother's Day card on Father's Day and Brother's Day and a grandparent card. And then it all gets really confusing.
There's a Brother's Day?
I don't know. There should be. I find mothers and fathers, even though I am a father, I find it a little bit unfair to other relatives. But even though when I do see a card for Grandparents' Day, for example, I'm like, really? And then I'm arguing with myself at that point because I've just gone on both sides of the argument. Do you think that's why the Daleks like really don't like anyone who's not a Dalek? Do you reckon they're all about keeping their mortgage and their, you know, their empire they set up in the family? And that's why they've started the whole exterminate situation.
Well, so Daleks are incest.
Yeah, they're all the same genetic material, so on a level.
Aren't they genetically evolved, modified versions of the Khalids? Are they Khalids?
Well, isn't the newest batch all made from Davros? Davros is
changing their minds about the Daleks.
They do.
At one point, they were all wiped out, and then they came back, and there was like the red one, the blue one, and the green one, and the puce one.
The Mini Cooper Daleks.
And then they did, and then they forgot about that. I thought there was going to be like this ongoing plot line where like there was these four Daleks, you know, and I thought it was going to be a bit like, I don't know, like Teletubbies, or like, you know, each Dalek would have its own personality or own mission. Oh my god, it's the blue Dalek! That means he's going to be really good in water.
You could give the blue one swords and the orange one nunchucks and pretend they're turtles.
See,
or Power Rangers.
But you see how there's aspects already. Oh my god, it's the orange one. He like exterminates people without even saying the word. He's like a ninja Dalek. That would actually be a ninja Dalek. A ninja Dalek is one that doesn't.
And he rolls by on a skateboard as well. off the screen.
But then they just seem to forget about it. Then they just kind of go, oh, well, because remember that whole episode, that was the end of the it was the World War one, you know, the World War Dalek. And at the end of the episode, they created these four Daleks and then flew off, and the Doctor was like, oh no, the Daleks are here. And then that was the last I heard.
And then the whole planet's back. Yes, you're getting into my era of nitpicking and things that might go, hang on a minute.
No, that's not true. My area of nitpicking is, oh, there's a really cool plotline here that they've done nothing with and they continue to do nothing with it. And your era of nitpicking is, did she put the ring on the same finger or did...
No, not that bad. But when a whole race comes back into existence with no explanation, that does kind of get on my boobs a little bit.
Gets on your boobs.
Would you like some... So, well, speaking of Doctor Who, I was in a game shop the other day.
Just letting my cat out. I'm listening.
Meow.
I was in a game shop the other day. Shock horror. I know this is very unlike me. And have you seen the price of Lego Dimensions? Because I was really interested because I like the Lego games.
I saw an advert saying starter packs from only £84, and that was the last time I looked.
Well, I haven't seen any £84 ones. I saw the one for the PS4 in game, and it was £100 for a starter pack. And I was like, what? So that comes with
the game finishing pack.
Exactly. That comes with the hang on. I haven't even finished it. That comes with the game, Batman, the girl from the Lego movie, and Gandalf, and the Batmobile. £100. Then each pack is £30. Like a pack could be, it's like Homer, a TV, and a Homer's pink car. And it's like, that's £30. I know it opens up more levels in the game, but I just paid for £100 for the game. Why are you?
I don't get it. Like, I mean, they're not stupid. They must have done the economics and worked out how many people will probably buy it, yada, yada, yada. But to me, that prices it out before it even starts. Like, if
Izzy, it's priced it out for me straight away.
If Izzy said to me in a few years' time, I want to do Lego Dimensions or whatever it happens to be that's priced at that level, the answer would be no, it's too expensive. And the follow up would be too expensive. If it was £40 for the starter, you know, a normal price game, and then each follow on thing was a tenner, and it was the kind of thing I could give it to her for Christmas, and then each kind of birthday or a special treat, you know, chuck another tenner in. Absolutely.
Yeah, it would be. What, Skylanders, I think the start pack is, so it's £60, I think it is, and that's like more expensive than a normal game.
The start pack so much? I mean, it's a receiver, isn't it? It's a little thing that you
get the pad, and you get two of the figures, and you get the game. So I think £60, there's an argument. I don't necessarily agree with it, but there's an argument. And then the figures are a little bit more.
Why do I have to buy extra accessories to play on a console I've already got? I mean, doesn't annoy you when you get a console and you kind of think, oh my God, look, that Wii or that PlayStation or this Xbox, this isn't like a console-specific moment. This is just one of those moments where it's like, you look at the price of the console and you go, cool, it's that amount. Let's say £200. That console is £200. And then you go, ooh, well, I'm going to need another pad. Ooh, well, I'm going to need that additional accessory. Ooh, and then, of course, I'm going to need another game because one game just really isn't really enough. I'm going to need, I don't know, something. And then you walk out the shop and you've spent £330 and you're like, where did the only £200 go?
Do you want to hear my old man impersonation?
The Wii was the worst. Nunchuck.
Yeah.
Classic controller.
Speaking of Nintendo, back in my day, you could get a Nintendo with a gun, two control pads, and two games for, I think it was $250, which is, I think that's what I got for my birthday or Christmas when I got my first Nintendo.
That was all in one thing, wasn't it?
That was like two games, a gun, and two control pads and the console. It's like, well, I'm set here for a good, you know, 6 months at that time. And, you know, when you took forever to beat Mario and Duck and stuff. But then again, PlayStation Plus, but then, I don't know. It is expensive, but I think £100 and £30 for each expansion is a right piddle take there. I was, what? Even my little boy went, I don't think so. And he doesn't even understand the value of money. He's just a tiny boy. And even he was like, what, £100? You could buy a car for that. And such stupid statements as that. But it's not his fault. He's a little kid. But he still understood the £100 ridiculous. Would you like some more Doctor Who Lego related news? Even though Lego Dimensions is a little bit.
Doctor Who's in. Pete from BBC, who comes on the Doctor Who Legacy show, often talks about it. But yeah, but go for it. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, they.
No spoilers for the new series. Otherwise, I'll throw
it's it out. No spoilers. It's. Okay. It's actual toys, Lego. They, from what I see, it was just announced today, from what I can see, Lego Doctor Who set has finally come out. I think there was like a system where people voted for the next set. And I think the last one was Ghostbusters. And this one is the Doctor Who Lego set. And the little boy in me is going, wow, that looks really cool. But I'm not going to sit here and play with Doctor Who Lego at my age. But still, it looks cool. It's got four Doctors, from what I can see, Amy and Daleks. You've got to have Daleks.
Does Amy have yellow legs? Because obviously Amy normally has her legs out, but are they yellow?
No, they're black with a skirt. So black tights. I don't think she's painted her legs black.
It could be a back level, because like obviously when you're young you can appreciate, I don't have Lego, but you can, I have seen it done, you can appreciate Lego on the, if you're a kid you can do the whole I'm going to build it, unbuild it, make other things out of it, have adventures with it, play out on the floor, leave some on the foot, get dad to tread on it by accident, listen to the swear words he says, yada yada yada.
Yeah.
If you're an adult, you can do the whole, I'm going to make it as a collectible and I'm going to place it on the shelf where it will stay for the better part of the next 6 years until someone knocks it off. And then treads until, on a piece of it on the floor and then the rest of it comes from there.
Until said person's better half goes, what are you doing? You know, that's toys.
If someone wants to be with you, then they should accept that you have interests.
I'm going to play this episode of Spadaddy back to my beloved and just look at her. Like, see, told you. Mm-hmm.
What else you can disagree? Why don't you bring her on? We could have, you know, a debate with it. What did you expect?
What did you expect when you were getting with me? Exactly. She knew. But yeah, there's people at work who are starting putting like men, fully grown men, and a couple
Hang
of
on,
women.
Wait,
who,
sorry, I don't obviously like to obviously mention the chat, on-screen chat here too much, because obviously this is a podcast and some of you probably are, you know, not in the kind of chat, but we have a Twitch chat who are listening to us live here. And someone's just said, Emmy Skarmer's just said, my body's ready for the Lego Doctor Who.
Mm, blimey. Wow, she definitely likes Lego.
She's so ready. She really she loves Lego.
I don't know what she's going to build at the bases, but
what's
blimey.
What's she going to do with the book? I don't want to know.
Sorry,
please carry on, because I need to get this out of my head.
Yeah, you should do. People at work, like adults, are putting like figures now on their desks. I think it's becoming more, it's not so much taboo, if taboo's the right thing. It's like, oh, you're a kid, you play with toys. But I think it's just like little ornament pieces now for nerds. It's good.
Well, I want to put my Homer Buddha on my, which you got me from the Loot Crate on my desk at work. I just keep forgetting to take it to work.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take it in. Especially
my Carnage mug is already in work, and my genius idea of no one ever nicking my mug because it's now a Carnage mug is working.
Cool. Has anyone paid any compliments to your Carnage mug?
They've played comments. Is that the same thing? It always starts with what the hell is that? With that, and then depending on how many kids are around, the middle bit is different.
Yeah, it could start with heck or F.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
What the heckin' son of a... Anyway, yeah, I've got all my stuff here at my desk from the Loot Crate stuff. But yeah, it's cool. I'm looking at it and the 10-year-old in me is going, well, I wouldn't mind a let go Weeping Angel. That would be quite cool. And it doesn't cost 100 quid. Actually, it might do, don't know. Anyway, moving on.
I'd like to talk about the... Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, Hell in the Cell match coming up.
Oh, wrestling!
Because for wrestling fans, Undertaker, or sorry, for non-wrestling fans, let me just fill you in on this. Undertaker is one of the longest serving wrestlers of all time, one of the most popular wrestlers of all time, one of the most respected wrestlers of all time, and actually over the last 10 years or so, probably one of the highest match quality wrestlers, if that makes sense. Like one of the most enjoyable to watch. He's facing Brock Lesnar, who is one of the most famous men on the planet in the kind of sporting slash wrestling world. He's a legitimate UFC champion, which is like real fighting, and he's a multiple-time WWE champion. And WWE have used him very, very sparingly and kept his value. So basically what you've got here is you've got one of the biggest wrestlers of all time in terms of popularity and fame versus one of the biggest wrestlers of international inter-sport fame going head-to-head. And this is their third match. This is like, probably more than third, but in recent times, this is their third match. They had a big thing at Undertaker.
Third match since Brock's comeback, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Third big thing at WrestleMania where the Undertaker streak was broken. Then they had one big rematch at SummerSlam, and now they're having the big showdown, you know, the final match. They've actually said that Paul Heyman has gone on record to say this will be the last match these two ever had. And for both of them, this will be one of the last matches they have kind of full stop, because both of them are kind of approaching the end of their careers and so on. So yada, yada. So this is the showdown to end an epic feud between two epic things. And yes, I'm really building this up for a reason, because I want to say that this is such an important, powerful, exciting, tense, must-see match, and they're completely cooking up the build of it.
Oh, what have they done? Have I missed something? I must have missed something. Tell me.
The announcement for the match, you know, how would you expect Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar and Hell in a Cell to be put together? You know, how would you expect that to happen?
I would expect Triple H to come down the ring on Raw first thing in the middle of the ring and go, he's got an important announcement or something like that.
Or or some sort of dramatic pull apart, or one of them being like, I challenge you to a blah, 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 and the other person going, I'm not going to do it, hell and so, or, you know, something dramatic, something live, something, you know, like, you know, some sort of interactive announcement or some sort of challenge.
Yeah.
You know, Paul Lesnar comes down and says, I've got a challenge for you, Undertaker, you know, something that makes it kind of a tense thing that builds it out over a couple of weeks. You know, how's this match going to happen? Why is it going to be set up? Yada, 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 yada. But instead, what they did is they had a small video package at SummerSlam going, small video package at Night Champions going, oh, yeah, Undertaker's going to be facing Brock Lesnar in a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, and it was the end of what seemed like a live event tour for Brock Lesnar, wasn't it? It's like the Brock Lesnar tour.
Yeah, it was like, first he's going to Pittsburgh, then he's going to New York City, then he's going to this, and then he's fighting The Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like, hang on, sorry, that's one of the biggest matches of the last 10 years, and you've just put it at the end of a video package in a little list. It was like an episode of Spud Addy with you.
But what?
You like list.
Oh, that. I thought you meant like anticlimactic and, you know.
No, that would have been...
mean. That would have been horrible. Oh, good God. So I welled up there. But yes, I do love lists. But even if I was doing it, I would have done a really like short list and then done that as the last entry to the list. So to get as much impact from that announcement as possible. Shopping list is good.
But yeah, exactly. But that's the good word, impact. The announcement of this match needed to be done in such a way that it had a massive impact that made the wrestling fans, and crucially for them, even the non-wrestling fans go, I've got to see that. This is the showdown. This is the one. This is the thing. And they've kind of been basically just kind of gone, oh yeah, there's going to be another Undertaker Brock match. Why should I get?
And I think the on the same show, you know, to take away from it as well, they've got Kane in a world title match.
What's that about? God.
What is that about? I know he's with Seth and Seth's awesome, but still, what's that about? Kane. Oh, no. Did you see Brock against, which kind of feeds onto the point as well, because they barely mentioned it apart from at the end, Brock against Big Show?
No.
All right. I mean, literally, they just acted like the Undertaker match wasn't happening. It was like, oh, it's all about these two. And I know it was about those two at that time. And normally I moan about them talking about other things during a match, but it, like you said, it's such a big deal that could have hyped it, and it's a proper pay-per-view. They could have hyped it a little bit. I think they mentioned it after the match and went, oh, Brock's there now, he's going to fight the Undertaker. You know, that is throwaway line. But
they do. I mean, WWE, I mean, wrestling fans moan an awful lot about WWE, and I go a lot of time with wrestling websites, and I think it irritates me sometimes that the wrestling websites often seem to be more critical of wrestling than they are praising it, you know, to the point of view you kind of go, well, why are you watching it then? So I want to be more positive and I like to be optimistic and stuff. And if there's anything WWE knows how to do, it's marketing. You know, they know how to push things and make you buy it and make you want to buy it and make you go, oh, I'm not sure I can actually live any more existence without that object, whatever it is. But here, it almost seems like, I mean, am I exaggerating? I mean, is this not one of the biggest matches in the last 10 years? I mean, is this not colossal?
Well, yeah. I mean, it comes from the biggest shock that I can actually think of, apart from Brett, Sean, Screwjob thing. Of the Undertaker losing at WrestleMania. I mean, everyone, including me and you, including my son, all went, yeah, Undertaker's going to win blatantly. It just was blatant. There's like no way. And then when it happened, like you said, that could have been, and then the SummerSlam thing, that was well done. You know, popped up in the other match and then the big pull-apart brawl and everyone was going crazy. But this one was literally like, oh, yeah, there you go. They could have, yeah.
We'll have a showdown, final one. Watch it if you want. Anyway, and they've only got 2 weeks left to sort it out, and because I believe the match is coming up in 2 weeks, and then but Brock Lesnar on Raw was spending his time faffing about the Big Show again. Stop faffing about the Big Show. Faff. That wasn't really a conversation starter more than just like I'd like to moan.
It's all right. This is it's not just to discuss topics. It's also to vent, like I did about Minions last week. It's fine.
That's true. You did vent about Minions. You did like Minions.
I would like to see Brock Lesnar against the Minions. There we go. Just killing them all. Just grabbing them, twisting their little heads off. Would you like some computer game news? This is hot off the press news that just happened a few hours ago.
Not really. Investigative journalism from Spud.
I travelled to Ubisoft head offices. I broke in and I saw... No, I didn't really do that. literally. Far Cry Primal. I nearly got it wrong. Primal has been announced for coming out in February next year. And
so Far Cry Primal, is this just random chucking in of adjectives and just seeing what sticks?
Yeah.
None of those words go together in a sentence.
Well, let me tell you the setup of the game. And I'm a Brit.
No, I want to talk about linguists. Words. We talked about this last week. I like words. Far Cry Primal is not a sentence or a phrase or a noun. It's meaningless.
But surely if you know the background of it, it might change your mind.
Okay,
it's about F1 racing, right? And the main character... No, it's not. So you're a... Not prehistoric, obviously, but you're a hunter at the very... Just as we became humans, I think, from the ancestors of what we came from, if you believe that kind of thing, which I do. And it's...
Is that a very long way of saying you're a Neanderthal?
No. You're definitely human, but it's just... It's very early man. Kind of okay. Anyway, so you're hunting down, there's like woolly mammoths in it and saber-toothed tigers, and I got all excited when I watched the trailer and I was like, ooh, and then I thought, hang on a minute, there's no guns unless someone goes, I will make this machine gun out of wood and flint and dung. And the last game, one of the most annoying parts for me is when you went into that weird spirit world when you had no guns and you had like arrows and stuff. I didn't like that as much as the rest of the game. So now I'm actually thinking, everyone else online is going crazy. Oh my God, fuck my.
It's an original idea that hasn't really been done much before.
And I don't think there's any dinosaurs in it, which is, if it's historically
the, you know, the famous Turok, which was famously terrible, but everyone loved it.
I know, but I think Far Cry with dinosaurs would be cool. But if it's historically accurate from... There wouldn't be any dinosaurs in it. And there's no dinosaurs in the trailer. The beginning of the trailer is like you're hunting this woolly mammoth and then you kill the woolly mammoth and then a saber-toothed tiger jumps out and then it goes, Far Cry. And then you're walking through the woods with like a torch and then another tribesman come out. At that bit, I thought you were going to come to a clearing and there's going to be a T-Rex there, but there wasn't. There was just a guy with a spear. I was like, oh man, there better be dinosaurs in it.
So and a rocket launch. The enemy going to be like a really well-spoken caveman that like sharpens his swords and kind of talks about insanity while, you know, trying to like... Or not, because it hasn't been invented yet.
But the other day I was on the phone and your character goes, what? I mean, I was calling over the hill and they keep... Oh, and one of them's got a watch on. They could, on purpose, put loads of things that were wrong at the time. So one of them's got, like, jeans on.
I'm gonna vote for it. I haven't seen the trailer, but I'm just going to say it, like one of the things we've objected to quite a few times on Spad Addict is games that just put out yearly iterations that are just, like... Here's a graphics patch on that, or here's another kind of level pack that isn't really taking it further. And what you want from a sequel is something, and we said this with kind of Fallout, what you want from a sequel is more of the same with a difference, with a significant improvement that makes you realise that this is a new game and it's worth you putting down your £40 to £50, whatever it is. And, you know, Far Cry is a big open world roaming adventure with numerous side missions and things to do. And it sounds like that what they've got there is something that's going to be significantly different in a different time zone with a different set of weapons. I mean, my head's kind of wandering a little bit because obviously a big part of Far Cry is kind of going, is getting different kinds of weapons. So,
and vehicles. Kind of
going, was it going to be a slightly pointier stick or like.
Yeah. See what I mean?
Out of oak, but this ball is made out of elm.
I've got a stone knife. I think
very,
it's going to be.
Very shiny stone.
I think it's going to be limited. I mean, again, vehicles. You're going to jump on top of a woolly mammoth, no doubt, because they've got that mechanic from Far Cry 4.
Ride a tiger? I mean, maybe they could ride all the...
A pterodactyl? Oh, no, there's no dinosaurs. Giant big eagle. A wee eagle. No, I think it might be a bit of a letdown. I think it might be a stopgap game. If they've just taken some weapons out and changed the map around a bit up until Far Cry 5. Because it's only been a year break, which is better than Call of Duties and your Assassin's Creed.
Think of it this way. If that's it forces the game's designers to really think about what they're going to do with the game. And rather than just being kind of like, here's Far Cry 5 on another island, maybe, you know, let's make it, you know, Asian rather than African or vice versa, whatever you want to do. You know, rather than just being like another kind of reskinned version with a bit of additional gameplay, by setting it somewhere completely different in terms of time zone, the game's designers have now got to go, right, so... What elements from the original Far Cry games can we bring in? How are we going to bring them in? What can we use it with? What creatures? I think it makes you think. I think it makes everything just feel new and fresh. I'm excited about this. You've sold me on this game by trying to unsell me this game.
I've sold you with my negativity. I'll be a great car salesman. Oh, I wouldn't buy that car. The fuel uses up fuel and the tyres keep going down. We change it and there's something wrong with the wheels and the clutch. Oh, yeah, I'd buy it. What? I'm telling you, it's a death trap. Here's my money. Take my money. I'm going to have to disagree with this one. We'll find out in February, but the thing is, it looks like the main weapon's going to be a bow and arrow, which is cool. I like bow and arrows. But what happened
most
with me?
Of the way through Far Cry.
Exactly, me too. This is what happened. Right, so sneaking through.
Yeah, yeah. Woods. Sneak. Ah, alarm! Run!
Mark everyone in the camp. Right, marked everyone. Right, take out one guy, bow and arrow. Got him. Lovely. Next guy, here we go. Bob's your uncle. Got him right in the head. Third guy sees me, pull out a machine gun, try and shoot everyone. That's the way it always happens.
Yeah, and some fricker runs off to the alarm and you have to abandon your cover to like run like a madman after him towards the alarm.
Yeah, and everyone sees you going, hey, that's that guy.
then you pull out a rocket launcher. That's the guy that we're all trying to kill running next to the guy of the alarm.
Yeah, and then you're going crazy. So in this one, if someone spots me, what am I going to pull out? A sharp stick or a stone or a slingshot or something?
No.
I'm just going to be like that.
Explosive stone.
Explosive stone defies logic. But how did you get the explosives? How did you invent the explosives and then put them in the stone? I don't understand. Now, if you're a time traveler,
they could have like an alien warship land.
Yeah.
Historic times that has some guns.
Well, I'm hoping there's some sort of twist and maybe you're a man out of time or something. And then you've got a ray gun. A ray gun with dinosaurs.
A ray gun against cavemen. That's just unfair.
I think, yeah, add ray guns to most things and it makes it better. Like, if you had a ray gun in the Great British Bake Off, you're telling me that wouldn't be as good, if not better.
What, would you cook things with it?
No. I think the, who's the older lady? What's her name? Expert of Great British Bake Off.
Mary Berry.
If you gave her a ray gun and whenever anything was too soggy in the centre of the cake, I've seen a couple of clips and she always goes on about soggy, she'd shoot them with a ray gun and they'd disintegrate. And that's how they would eliminate the people instead of voting them off.
You've just basically described that like Doctor Who TV station parody where all the guns...
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah, the weakest link.
You've seriously proposed that.
And you could bring all your boy points into it and everything could be fine.
Mm,
cool. Have you got anything else you would like to bring up for a discussion? I'm running out.
You said we had some questions.
We did. Oh, hang on. Before that, this is another thing. An analyst has come out last week, Michael Patcher, and he said this will be the very last cycle of consoles. And after this, it will be tablets and it will be PCs and consoles will go out to pasture and they will be taken around the back of the shed and shot. Now, how many times have we heard this and why do you think it keeps popping up? Because I remember
I
for starting
heard the doom and gloom for lots of things. I mean, they were talking about the end of PC gaming.
They did. Yeah, a few years ago, I remember that.
And, you know, I didn't get particularly concerned about it because I didn't really see that happening. But a lot of experts were saying PC games weren't going anymore. And I was beginning to be a bit like, oh, will the latest releases come to PC? And because, you know, there were a few games that never did.
Like Batman.
Yeah, like Batman, Red Dead Redemption, you know, that kind of era. That was when they were talking about PC games dying. And then they've talked about handhelds dying, but now they're still handhelds. And then they've talked about consoles dying and they've talked about Nintendo dying. They've talked about Sega dying. Gaming continues. It's like the rad roach of the gaming world. It will survive in some form. There will always be, I don't know about consoles in particular. I think consoles will survive, but what there will be is there will be a market for casual gaming and there will be a market for serious gaming and there will be a market for something that your teenager / young child can use to play serious games that doesn't require an intricate knowledge of PCs. And surely that niche has to be a console. Not everyone is going to want to use a PC because of the complicated, you know, the understanding you have to be able to use it, basically. Plus the fact that a PC doesn't really work in a living room. The breakdown between PC and tablet and console is thinning, you know, with the transferability and things.
I cast my mind back when I read this and I was trying to think how many times I heard it. And I think the first time I heard it was just before the PS2 came out. I think after the PS1, and that was the boom, and I remember reading some sort of magazine some expert, normally analysts about markets, they always make these things. And they were like, that's the high point there. The PS1, it sold so many. That's it, blah, blah, blah. That's it. The next one will go down and go down and that's it, blah, blah, blah. Then the PS2 come out and was the most successful selling console of all time. And it's kind of blew out of the water. Now,
the Wii.
And then the Wii. And then after the Wii, they went, right, that's it. And the PS3 and the Xbox 360 were quite successful, but not matching up. And you kind of thought, okay. But now the PS4, if it stays on this trajectory, it will be the most successful selling console of all time again.
Say, hasn't the PS4 sold really, really well?
Yeah, it's like it's beating all their previous consoles up to this point in their life cycle. So if it keeps on with the momentum as it should do, I mean, it's not slowing down. It's, it's evening out a bit, but it should become the biggest selling console. And in an era where we're people are buying phones for like 400 quid, it's 300 quid for a games console. It's not really, out of the world. But I think there'll be a point where everything will hook up and anyone will be able to cross their games. I think.
Yeah, I'm surprised if you end up getting some sort of system whereby, like, your phone and your console and your PC are all linked up and you get a game and you can actually play it on all three, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we kind of got that with the PlayStation thing at the moment. So we've got the PlayStation TV, which is on some TVs, Samsung TVs. Yeah. And now we're getting between PS4 and PS Vita and PS3, you're getting cross-save. So if I'm playing Shovel Knight, for example, that does the feature very well with hardly any problems. It's just one press of a button. And you're playing on your PS4, you've got to go out. Shovel Knight, very good retro platformer. I strongly recommend it to you. He's got a shovel when he's a knight. That's it. You jump around, you hit enemies. It's a platformer, very much like old retro Mario's.
Why hasn't he got a sword? Why is it not Sword Knight?
Because then it'd be called Sword Knight, and I'd be maybe a bit too violent. But you're sidetracking me, damn it. So if I want to, I can cross save it, go on the bus, and I've got my game where I just left off. So we're kind of there already. But I just don't like it when analysts come out and make these big sweeping statements and they keep getting proven wrong and wrong and wrong. But then again, we're talking about it and I even mentioned his name, so maybe that's why they keep doing it.
I think probably though it's one of those things again where like one person says, well, this might happen. And then some news journalist goes, oh, let's turn that into a headline.
That's it. Console games are dead.
It's like when Jeremy Corbyn breathes and then that turns into the Sun headline the next day, Jeremy Corbyn bans oxygen.
Jeremy Corbyn did not breathe in and out at the correct pace, therefore he disrespects the Queen or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. He breathed in and out too slowly and therefore he's against, fast cars.
He wants to get rid of all nuclear weapons and let everyone have guns.
I could be wrong. Maybe analysts are making money out of this kind of thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's more of a case of, because you know what you get, you get, I was reading about, there's a guy called Peter Singer in ethics. And he's come up with a theory, a way of making decisions known as preference utilitarianism. And he did this reasonably long lecture, reasonably long talk about ways of making decisions and when a person can be classed as alive and when a person should be deemed valuable or not the value or sanctity of life. A really kind of deep, well thought out theory. And you can agree with him and you can disagree with him, yada, yada, yada. But it was a well thought out, detailed argument. But at one point, he made the case that the older the more kind of adult a person is, the more valuable we should kind of see them because of their kind of impact on society, the people that rely on them, the people that they rely on, they're thoroughly integrated, they're known, yada, yada. And the younger a person is, going all the way back to an embryo, the less valuable a person is. And so he makes this kind of point at one point that we should see a newborn baby as less valuable than an adult. And this is part of a huge lecture of a well thought out theory. But of course, the headline, and this wasn't particularly like a main reported news thing, but the thing that all the textbooks was like, Peter Singer hates babies. And it's like, that's not what he was saying.
That's not what he's saying.
And that's, I think, when journalism is at its worst, when they try and when they take something that's not a story and try and make a story out of it. I mean, isn't there not enough real stories in the world? ISIS blows up historical monuments, massive problems with poor immigrants dying in the oceans, presidential elections, blah, 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 blah. There's lots of real stories around. So why do you have to kind of take someone out of context and go, look?
That's and move, going back to Corbyn, that's exactly what happened when he said about, remember there was all the headlines saying Corbyn says it was a tragedy that bin Laden was killed. And it was like, oh, and the actual quote was, it's a tragedy he was killed and not brought to justice. They just chopped off the end of it straight away. They just, no, he wanted Bin Laden to live. He didn't say that, though. But everyone was going around. It was like in all the papers on the news. And oh,
I wonder if journalists know they do it. Like, I wonder if it's like...
Yeah, they just want to create a conversation and get people selling or listening or watching, don't they?
Maybe it's the fault of the kind of, like most things, the kind of it's like one of those necessity. Like, journalists are in competition with each other, so they're constantly looking for that story that will make them better than the journalist next to them, and therefore they end up kind of going down that path. Capitalism, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, no, man.
I'm not, before any journalists are watching, I'm not suggesting communism, so please don't make the headline tomorrow, you know. Local teacher what reverts to communism live on air.
Also supports incest.
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't say that either.
I didn't say that, no.
Wants to create explosive stone in game. No, I didn't say that. Right.
That was quite a good rant. I feel I've let that off my chest. Here's a question for you. As everyone knows here, I'm a teacher, and we teach lots of subjects in school. You know, I'm a high school teacher, and I think the kids have something like 11 different subjects. And as they get older, they can specialize more and more and choose less and less. So the idea is they have a very wide curriculum when they're, you know, say 11 years old, and then they choose a little bit more when they kind of get to more kind of 13 years old, and they specialize even more when they get to GCSE, and they kind of reduce it back to kind of 7, and then you get to A level and you reduce it even more to back kind of 3 or 4, and then you get to university and you tend to reduce it to either 1 or 2, depending if it's a dual honors. And I think the system is good. I think the system is good. I think that's how it should be. You know, you give everyone an opportunity to learn a little bit about everything, and then the kid and the child as they grow up can choose their own specialism. My question is this. Do you think there are any subjects that are taught in school that shouldn't be? Or conversely, do you think there's any subjects that aren't taught in school that should discuss?
Right. No, I think all the lessons have a use. And if you asked me this when I was in school, I would have said, RE, what the hell? But now, as I've got older, I find the whole thing, like, you know, philosophy, RE, what people believe, et cetera, I find that really fascinating. Mm. And I geek out on it all the time. And, you know, if you look on my phone at all of my podcasts, it's either gaming or movie related, comic related, and then out of the blue it's science and philosophy and debates normally against some high end atheist against some high end
best card Muslim in Hearthstone, and who's playing the next Doctor Who companion, and how did the world begin?
Wait, yeah, and then going to, is there a God and why isn't there a God and why is my God better than your God, and, you know, all that stuff fascinates me. So even that subject, again, ask a 14-year-old, me. Oh, no, it's boring. Oh, I hate Miss whatever. I can't say her name because you know the one I'm talking about because we went to the same high school.
That was the only lesson we shared.
Yes, and you brought a pen.
We might have said this before. Me and Spud didn't know each other in high school, although we went to the same high school in the same year, and we shared one lesson, and apparently I borrowed your pencil.
And that's when I noticed him. And I said, he's going to be mine one day. but... I think they should definitely teach some sort of modern life skills to kids in some sort of lesson, be it some sort of technology information-y lesson, things like how to open up a bank account and stuff like that. I mean, you could put some responsibility with the parents, but I think...
I agree with you. The problem is that they... What tends to happen in a lot of schools, and I'm not necessarily talking about my own school, I'm just saying what tends to happen in a lot of schools, is that it gets... All that kind of stuff, how to open a bank account, how to get a mortgage, how to do taxes, yada, 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 all gets put into a subject called PSE or PSHE. When I was at school, it was personal, social, and I think it started as personal, social education, but it now actually stands for, I think, personal, social, and health economics. I think they've now even taken the word education out of it. And actually, when you look at the curriculum of it, it's not bad. There's some stuff there that I personally am not quite so into, but all of those topics, those kind of life skills topics, are kind of there. Things like, you know, sex being the big one, and then, you know, money skills, democracy, you know, how to vote, how our government system works, you know, all those things are there. But here's the problem. In most schools, what happens is that lesson is then taught by that child's form tutor rather than a PSE teacher. So you get some teacher that's like a a science teacher or an RE teacher like I am, or a maths teacher or a French teacher, blah, blah, yada, yada. And then once a week they have this PSE lesson where they're supposed to teach democracy to their form. And the teacher might kind of have that knowledge, but they're not actually a specialist teacher of that particular subject. And by and large, most teachers then don't do a very good job. And I don't think that's the teacher's fault at all, because it's not their specialism. It's not what they're trained to do. It's not what they're, you know, their expertise in. The kids then hate it because it's not taught particularly well. And then it just ends up becoming a big kind of mess of, oh God, I've got PSHE. So I agree with you. It's really vital. I think a school should employ a few PSE teachers who are very good at teaching that subject and make it the important subject that it should be.
I completely agree. But it's probably the worst time. I was just listening to the radio this morning, and it was talking about a crisis of lack of teachers in the United Kingdom. So I don't think that's going to happen soon if they haven't got any teachers for the core subjects, as you would, your science, your maths, and your English. So I agree with you there.
I might be wrong, but as far as I understand it, I think there's shortage of teachers in certain subjects. Like, I think some subjects have got way too many. Like history, I think, is oversubscribed. Because basically anyone that studies history at university, and there's a lot of them, then kind of goes, great, what can I do with a history degree? And of course, nothing other than teach history or run the country, apparently. So, you know, lots of people who study history go on to teach history. But if people study science, they tend to go and work, go to, you know, chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, and go and make millions. They don't kind of go to that kind of thing. So it's certain subjects. I mean, PSC, I don't know if PSC would have teachers going for it, because I mean anyone that do things like politics degrees or philosophy degrees might have it. I don't know.
It's very important though. I mean, just if you covered sex and credit, how credit works, because so many young people fall into the credit trap. Oh, I get a credit card. Oh, £2,000. Yeah. Oh no, I now owe £4,000. How does that work? You know, it's true though. And then they, you know, the sex thing talks for itself, really. It causes all kinds of trouble.
It's a good system though, the whole, you know, teach loads of different things. And I think, I don't know what it's like in other countries, and it'd be nice to kind of import some other people into our chat and ask them. But, you know, I think the British education system is good. You know, you've got, if I can do it off the top of my head, you've got one modern foreign language, and I hate modern foreign languages, but I still think it's at least a taste of it should be on the curriculum. RE in philosophy, science, which is often double science, English language and English literature and geography and history and music and drama, and ICT, which has recently been revamped to not just be like spreadsheets and stuff, but have actually been like building computers and understanding code and things like that, which I think is awesome. And then when you get to GCSE, you've got lots of other options like photography and media and psychology PE. And sociology. I feel like I've missed the subject.
PE, sports. PE,
yeah.
I can't think of it, I guess.
That's a broad base. That's good. I like it. Go education.
Go education. Learning stuff is cool.
Anyway,
but again,
we have 10 minutes left of the show. You should get a couple of questions in.
We have got two questions that I could find. Everyone, if you would like to send some more questions in, because obviously this week we haven't rambled on so much, so we've forgotten the time and then went, okay, we have to go bye and without anything. So please ask anything of us within reason. Let me just do a list of all the reasons you should send your questions. Yeah, but please send your questions in. So the first question is from our dear friend, Mr. Picks, the golf rematch avoiding Mr. Picks himself. I hope he's listening, you golf coward. He would like to know, what retro game or game series would we like to see come back?
That's an awesome question.
That is an awesome question. Well done. You might be, you know, jammy at golf, but that was a good question. You first. Or do you want me to go first? Because I thought of an answer because I read the question.
Go for it.
Streets of Rage.
Oh, I was thinking Double Dragon. But that's effectively the same. That's the same principle. Go for it.
You think of Double. Okay, let me explain why. Because could you imagine a side-scrolling, you know, like side, not proper 2D, but like Streets of Rage where you can move up and down, but with proper Street Fighter mechanics, so you can do the combos and the dragon punches, not necessarily with Street Fighter characters, Streets of Rage characters, but it's that level of in-depth fighting, but multiple characters with smaller energy bars goes along, tells a cool story. I would love that, especially with today's graphics and sound, and you know, stories are getting better and everything else, and you get to punch loads of people, and you can make that really funny noise that you made in Squash the other day. It sounded just like Streets of Rage. So yeah, my answer is Streets of Rage. I used to love that game. I can't remember what it was, but it sounded just like it. That's it. Something like that. The amount I used to play that even the first level of Streets of Rage 2, because the boss at the end was so easy to punch. So I used to do that weird combo where you just keep punching him and finish with a little dragon punch thing. I used to love that game so much. They did a good one called...
Did we play Streets of Rage 2 the other day? Like, not the other day, but like a couple of months ago at my place.
I think it was about a year and a half ago, yeah. It was on the PS3.
Time goes fast when you're old.
It does for people our age. We did. It's fun. I like it. And there's been other games like that. Like, you know, you had your Turtles in Time, your Turtles arcade game. I think there was like a really good one. Die Hard Arcade.
Genre has disappeared. Maybe it's been replaced by first-person shooters.
Yeah, I think each thing gets its day in the sun, doesn't it? So you had a period where everything was 2D platformers. Then you had lots of those scrolling beat-em-ups. Then you had 3D platformers, and they just vanished. And then it's first-person shooters now. Everything's first-person and first-person now. So what is any retro games you can think of or series that we come back?
I've been teasing it in my head while you've been kind of talking and stuff, because most, especially with the rise of indie games... Most genres are now still around in one way or the other. Because there was a period about 5 years ago where graphic-based kind of point-and-click adventures had completely disappeared. Because if you'd asked me this question 5 years ago, I'd have gone Monkey Island, Day of the Tentacle, you know, those kind of like comedy click adventures. I'd be like, where the hell are they? But now I think all the Telltale game stuff.
Yes. And have you played Walking Dead Season 1?
No, but I'm aware that they're around. But that so kind good. Of genre has been updated, modernized, and has come back with a vengeance. So huzzah.
Yeah.
Which I guess really only leaves the genre, which is, you know. You are in a room. On your left, there is a box. There are three exits, one to the right and one to the left.
Text-based adventures.
What do you do?
I press F1 to go for the left door.
You have died.
You have met a giant dragon. He has bent you over and killed you. I don't know why you had to bend him over first.
Why did you bend him over?
It's just, I don't know. Can I go back now and reduce and go to the right door? But yeah, though, I don't know. Well, maybe you kind of got that a little bit with that passport game. Was it called? The one on Steam. I don't think it's hit consoles yet. I played it. I loved it. And you played it. Passports, and you have to make decisions. And it's all tech, basically.
Yes, I know the one. It's like... Glory to Eric Stockstrier or something.
It's you're like kind of Russian-y kind of situation.
God, I don't know what it was called. Someone on the chat will tell us. But yes, I remember. Papers, please.
That's it. Well done. Yes. So that's kind of maybe that. I mean, it's not coming back using today's tech, getting a proper relaunch of a series. But yeah.
I think like what are the games that I played for hours and hours and hours when I was a kid? I mean, platformers. Why do you think? You're saying you think 3D platformers have disappeared?
Well, you had your Mario 64 that really kicked it off, and then you had your Crash Bandicoot and Banjo and Kazooie's, and you know
that Rayman, which was 3D, has now gone back to being 2D. But I think it's better for doing so.
Oh yes, definitely. Oh, the last one was just amazing, and the one before that. But I mean, can you think of any modern 3D platforms? I can't. I think there was one called something. Oh, it was on PlayStation. I can't remember even what it's called. Tinker the Rainbow. Something or other, but they got bad review. So I think it will come back again. Blatantly obvious. Probably Mario Galaxy. They've kind of was the last
now,
one.
Now they can kind of do anything. I think they've just kind of acknowledged that actually 2D platformers work better. And if you're in 3D, it tends to work better with like isometric games like Bastion or that Brothers game I played that made me cry.
Or just a Tale of Two Sons.
Like, rather than being like a 2D platformer, most of them tend now to be, you know, you look out your character's eyes, almost like a kind of first-person shooter with kind of jumps and stuff. But
yeah. Saying that, though,
on the Mario games, still 3D platformers.
No, I think the last ones were Mario Galaxy. The latest two, one on the 3DS and the one on the Nintendo Wii U, that is, it's like a half and half. You're looking at it from an angle, but then... You can't sweep the camera around, but your character is in a 3D world.
The whole problem with those bloody platformers was always the freaking camera. I mean, how many times did you get killed by just walking in a straight line and the camera swung around on Mario 64 and you just walked off the edge?
I was just thinking that, even though I love the game. The first level, getting up to the top of that little mountain thing, there was a bit where you had to tightrope over a bit. I fell so many times to the bottom of the hill. And I was like, you son of a... So, yeah, I agree with you, but I think that genre is definitely due to come back. Especially with Mario. If they did like a Mario Galaxy 3, I'd be all over it. Oh, that'd be so good. Oh.
I think so. I mean, from what you were saying earlier about people saying the console industry is in decline and all that kind of stuff, I think gaming's in a really good place. I just think that there's so much available, whatever your niche now, whether you love multiplayer games, whether you love pick-up, put-down games, whether you like huge adventure games. I mean, there's odd things to moan about. Oh, God, Call of Duty again, yada, yada, yada. But essentially, whatever game you want now, you can find that style of game and multiple games that are like it. And also, you can go back
with these as well. And yeah. I mean, the Nintendo store's got loads and it's adding more all the time. And hopefully you'll be able to cross that over.
I think we're living in a good place. In fact, I'll even say we're in a good age as well, because you might kind of say, well, it's a young person's game. But no. We, my friend, who are, 35/34, depending on which side of our birthday we are, are still young enough to have reactions to play games, still have enough eyesight to see the games, and employed enough to actually buy them.
And no arthritis. Woo! In our fingers, obviously.
This, my friends, is one of the few weeks, there will be a few of them where I am younger than Spud. By this time next week, I will be the same age as Spud. So
you'll be the same age. You will. It popped up on my calendar today. Yeah. I was like, ha ha!
Sunday. Sunday is the Addy B day.
Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be, oh no?
Well, I'm not particularly like, oh my God, I'm aging type person. I just tend to look in the mirror and kind of go, yep, ugly. But I've done that since I was about teenagers. So it doesn't really change anything.
Oh, virtual hug. Oh, do you feel my virtual arms going around?
I'm just waiting for everyone in the chat to be like, oh, he's gorgeous. But they won't.
I can't see the chat. I don't know what's happening. Second question and last question.
Mm.
Steph L on Twitter asks, what's our favourite types of music?
Anything
you are the music man.
Jam about on the piano.
Yeah, but like, favourite bands, favourite genres, got I think.
I don't like this question because this is going to make me seem old.
I'm going to give a really mixed answer that I'm going to get mixed reactions, I'm sure. Do you want to go first?
No, I'm scared of looking old.
Why? Oh, it's right.
Because everything I listen to is old. You know you're old when everything you listen to on music streaming services these days starts with the word classic. Do you know what had its 20th anniversary the other day?
What?
What's the Story in Morning Glory?
No.
20th anniversary of What's the Story in Morning Glory. 20th. Oh,
you've made me feel really old now. Oh, my gosh.
20th.
A part of me still feels like Oasis is a new up-and-coming band. Oh, I haven't heard an album from them in ages. I know they split up, but they should release something new. It'd be great.
Those young men. 20th. Jeez.
That's crazy. I read something. My favourite rapper of all time, Eminem, he's like mid-40s now. It's terrible.
It's hard to be a rebellious rapper when you are, working on these.
Yeah, exactly.
Beer gut, going thin, collecting, paying your taxes.
Well, soon he won't have to dye his hair white because it will be white.
Yeah, it'll be
that colour. But my favourite types of music, if I had to put it to three, are Britpop, old rap R&B, as in 90s, not like... No. I like Sugar Hill Gang and Jurassic 5 and all that as well, actually.
You mean like Informer?
Even though I did buy that single, looking back on it, that wasn't the best decision.
You mean MC Hammer? Did you have to pray just to make it today?
Yep, and I did a little shuffle with the big baggy trousers. But no, like Sugar Hill Gang and stuff like that. I did like that. But what kind of genre...
Yeah, isn't that the... Bah, bah,
bah? It's like a hip... Hop, the hip to the hop.
I've got a hip to the hop.
I love that. So good. Anyway, and stuff like Queen is my favourite band. They're just, I like other bands, but Queen. So like rock pop as well. That's probably gets me going.
I do listen to music, but if I'm going to do music, I tend to sit down at the piano or the guitar and play something I know, but in a different... This is a really nerdy answer, but I tend to like playing things in a different style to which they were originally written and just kind of having fun with music rather than necessarily listening to it. But the stuff I do listen to, again, it's old. Elton John, big fan. Oasis, country music is a kind of genre, but kind of modern country, but kind of like Brad Paisley, Dierks Bentley. I love this bar, whoever that is, his name is. Queen, I know loads of. I used to love Bryan Adams quite a lot. I guess it's kind of rocky pop, but I like a lot of little things in little genres as well, like Pet Shop Boys. They could fun.
Yeah.
You know, I can put on the occasional dance track when I'm into it. A bit of heavy rock if I'm in the right mood. Creed.
I said about my undying love for Meatloaf the other day, and someone at work mocked me so hard. And I was like, what? They're awesome. Well, not there, but him. I love Bat Hell and all that stuff. I don't care what anyone says. I have no shame in my music.
Some nights it don't come easy. And some nights it don't come hard. Is that the line? And some nights it don't come at all, and these are the days that never end. Lyrics are just so inappropriate. Looking back.
It reminds me of that time you said, you just randomly messaged me one day going, why is it that you can say things in a song that you wouldn't say out loud to a person normally?
It's still true.
It is. But and then I started like thinking about songs in my head, and I was like, oh my God, he's right. That's really inappropriate to go up to someone to say some crazy stuff.
It bothers me how many songs are just about sex. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, human beings don't think about sex a lot. We do. But we don't walk around the street kind of going, I'm really horny. I'm going to do you tonight. Mm. Up and down, up against the wall. Yeah. Mm. You know, and yet somehow in the medium of song, this seems to have become a perfectly acceptable and normal thing to do. I remember seeing this little kid once, you know, 5 or 6, maybe a little bit older, you know, singing along with, you know, I'm horny, 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 horny. You know, and it's like,
yeah, I noticed that when my children first started talking, when they started singing songs like that, like, my milkshake brings all the, no, what are you doing? Stop that. You can't say that. Why? I can't tell you. Shush. And then slap them. Don't sing that ever again. Yeah. But yeah.
There's so many things to write songs about. I mean, obviously I'm going to plug my own silly songs here, but you know, I'm often kind of just driving along and, you know, invent a little song about, you know, how, you know, why circles round and things like that. You know, there's just so many possible topics for songs, and they just seem to resort so often to banging each other. It just seems uncreative.
Well, you're right. There's not a lot of songs out there that are about why a circle is round and stuff.
Yeah, that was just an example of, you know, let's go out there. I mean, one of the things I'll say for Oasis, I mean, their lyrics made no sense, but they there's very rare you get an Oasis song which is a love song or a sex song. You know, they're all just about random stuff. And sometimes you get to the end of the song and go, I don't know what that was about. But isn't that more interesting than a song which is just about, I'm going to take you up against that wall, spin you around and lick my hand and then tell people about it in a song?
I'm going to lick you up and down until you say stop. It's true.
On that highly poetic and slightly disturbing note, we should probably bring Spadaddy to an end, of which the Spadaddy song does not contain any references to any form of sexual position, unless the fat and potato is a sexual position. But if that is the case, then that was completely unintentional. Anything you want to plug?
Just us. Plug us. So if you're watching it on Twitch, then you know Twitch. But if not, the Adipose TV. Is Twitch, if you want to watch the live, the show that's happening right now, not when you're listening to it on a podcast, then go there and check us out. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at SpudaddyCast. And if you want it in podcast format, you can find us on iTunes, Audio Booms, Podkicker, all the good podcast providings out there. You can find us everywhere. And if you want to send us a little email, you can even do that at SpudaddyCast@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for your support and for coming along tonight. And if you're listening to the podcast, then a special thank you to you, because that's obviously where we're trying to grow. But take care. I will be back with Doctor Who Legacy on Thursday. I probably won't be around tomorrow because I'm doing some school stuff. And Spudaddy will be back next week.
Next week, baby.
Boys and girls. Take care. And here is the highly appropriate and not at all sexual Spudaddy song.
Just listen, you'll glisten, cause you'll be so happy. Our podcast is random talk on this and on that. But what did you expect from potatoes and fat? Yeah, what did you expect from potatoes and fat?